Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn once again to Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." And Heavenly Father, once again, please help us to understand your word, that it would mean something to us, that you would illuminate our heart, give us understanding, and then help us to walk in it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is part 3 of my series, "The Entrance of Thy Words Giveth Light." Last time we looked at 2 Kings chapter 22, and it was a hard message. Leaving aside my commentary, the verses, the scriptures, the passages we had that we looked at, it's a hard message. It's necessary that repentance be preached. Luke chapter 24, verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." And they began, as the scripture said, at Jerusalem. Again, it's a hard message. It's a necessary message. But today, I want to take off my evangelist's hat and put on my pastoral one. And if you would, please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. And this too is a message that I had previously preached and recorded on this station. But it's a similar situation, but mostly a contrast. In 2 Kings 22, they didn't have a Bible, but yet they held church. Didn't want a Bible, didn't realize they needed it until they stumbled upon it behind the cabinet or something, somewhere in the tabernacle of God. They stumbled upon the Bible, but when they read it, God convicted and smote their heart. But again, a small similarity, but mostly contrast. In Nehemiah 8, it says in verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man." In other words, they were all in agreement. They gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. "And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." They knew about the Bible here. They had the Bible here. And as we'll read, the religious leaders, the elders, the priests, the Levites, what have you, they knew the Word of God. They had been studying it for a long time. And the people, they got together and decided that, hey, we want to hear the Word of God preached and taught. Again, completely contrasted to the message last week and the week before. "And Ezra the priest," in verse 2, "brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women." and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month, and that's important. It was the first day of the seventh month, and I don't know much about Judaism. I believe it's Tishri, but it's important, as we'll see. But in verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those that could understand. I guess children or, I don't know, teenagers, what have you. Men, women, and others that also could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive to the reading and instruction out of the book of the law. Today, most people don't want the Bible. Most people in church really don't want the Bible. And I don't want to do much commentary today, but in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, it says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And as you wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of God and shall not find it. And similar language is found in the book of Samuel during the time of Eli. And honestly, I'm not exactly sure of when he was talking about, but it describes the church. It describes the airwaves. It describes Daystar and what have you. There's a lot of stuff on Daystar and God TV and what have, there's a lot of stuff, but most of it, it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And there are a few preachers that are taking the book and preaching it for what it says. If you want to use today's terminology, text-driven. What does the text say? Not, I have a topic or I have something that I want to say, and let me go to the Bible and find some verse that backs it up. But today you can wander around and there are very few pastors, very few evangelist teachers, what have you, that are teaching from the book itself. Again, that's the end of my commentary. I don't want to get into that again today. But here in Nehemiah chapter 8, they wanted to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear it. And it says in verse 4 that Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. It's strange language. We stand behind pulpits today, and I don't understand Hebrew or anything like that, but in this sense, it's a platform or a dais. And some churches have platforms. Some churches don't. They just have the lectern or pulpit, they call it. Some churches just use a music stand after the saxophone player is finished with it. But they made this pulpit, this dais, this platform on purpose. And Ezra stood up to teach and to preach. And it says that beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand. And on his left hand, there were seven other guys, the elders of the church, if you will, the associate pastors, the teachers, what have you, in our context. They were probably priests and scribes in Nehemiah's day. Some churches, you'll see, some, There's the pastor, but seated with him in chairs set there on purpose. There are the elders, the other pastors would have you. And some churches, many churches, it's just the one guy, the pastor or whatever, and there's no one else up front. But I believe that the idea here is that it wasn't just one guy, Ezra. It was a united front. It was all of these priests and scribes and what have you in agreement. And when Ezra and then later others stood, it wasn't one guy. It was a whole panel saying, hey, this is the word of God. This is the way. Walk ye therein. Now, there are 13, and later on you'll see there's another 13. It could be foreshadowing a symbol, what have you, of the 12 disciples. And the later 13, which we'll get into in verse 7, I guess, you could say in Luke chapter 10, that was the 70 others also. I guess you could say that. But again, it wasn't just one guy standing up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. And here in South Louisiana, when they catch the shrimp on the boats and they pick out all the trash fish, they scoop the shrimp into a bushel, they call it. Or in French, they call it a champagne. But it's a basket, about the size, I guess, of a clothes basket. But if you light a candle, Jesus said, you don't stick it up underneath a bucket or something, but you put it up on a candlestick high in the room, and it gives light to all that are in the house. We shouldn't be afraid to stand up for God and His Word. And we talked about last time or the time before that if you do stand for God, you will suffer persecution. Try it on Facebook. Try to quote the Bible on Facebook or to comment on current events on Facebook and you'll get pushback, trust me. But it says in chapter 5 here of Nehemiah 8 that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And that doesn't mean that he was better than them, but it means that he stood up so that everybody in the audience could see. But he opened the book, the Word of God, and all the people stood up. It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And they lifted up their hands, and then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. There was respect. Ezra gave the blessing, and all the people, they were enthusiastic. They lifted up their hands. They said, Amen, or so be it, or we agree, or right on, or what have you. And then they bowed their heads before God, and they worshiped. They worshiped. They had respect for God, but today, we're too familiar. Today, there's no reverence, not anymore. There used to be. But we should get back to reverencing God. And we should also develop a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and the Word of God. But it says in verse 7 that they had these other 13. But verse 8, and they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. And they gave the sense, they explained it. They gave the sense that there's context. There's context. You can't take a verse, oh, I like that verse, I'm going to claim that verse, but you don't understand the context, or you haven't read the chapter that it's in. You have no idea what the writer was talking about, but hey, I claim that verse. It's a promise from God. Well, you need the context. You need the context. As I said last time, you should read the Bible for yourself. But he read distinctly. He took his time. And he gave the sense, he explained the hard passages, and he caused them to understand the reading. But in verse 9, there's a response. All the people were gung-ho, they wanted to read. They asked, hey, why don't you guys teach from the Bible? But in verse 9, when they did teach, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, they said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not. Don't be sad. Don't grieve. Don't cry. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, Josiah, last time in 2 Kings 22, when he heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He was in anguish, and it does say in the chapter there was weeping. It's similar, but different. It's similar, but different. Again, today's lesson and last week's is a contrast. And the contrast is the people here were submitted to God. When they started to teach, they lifted their hands and prayed with Ezra. And after they said amen, they bowed their heads to the ground and they worshiped God. When the scripture was read to the king or to the people, there was a mourning, there was weeping in both instances. But you see, God deals with his children differently than he does those that really don't know him. And I'm not saying that Josiah didn't. Of course he did. But they were walking ignorant of the scriptures in 2 Kings 22. But here, they wanted the word of God. They wanted it. They wanted to hear. And when the word of God is taught, God does prick the heart. God does show us the things that we're doing wrong or thinking wrong, or he may bring back to our remembrance, well, I was rude and rousers the other day to that person. I mean, you're sitting there and the man could be teaching on tithing and the Spirit of God could remind you in the middle of it, hey, you shouldn't have been rude at cashier or whatever the case. God does bring conviction. But in this case, it's a gentle, gentle conviction. It's not when they went to Huldah the prophetess in 2 Kings and she said, yep, that's right, you guys are under a curse. No, there's relationship here. If your heart is right with God, he will say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. Or, hey, you need to stop doing that other thing. He will say these things. But it's in terms of relationship and mercy. And you get a sense of God's love and care for you. But the Levites and what have you said that this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. And in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way. I mean, you guys just stop sniffling. All right, go your way. Eat the fat or enjoy the food, what have you, and drink the sweet, and not bitter, but hey, let's have something you know, some iced tea with some sugar in it or whatever. Eat the good stuff, eat the dessert, and then drink the sweet. And listen to this. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Again, a right heart, a right spirit, a right attitude, reverence. And it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you get around God, when you enjoy and hunger for the reading of the Bible, He puts joy in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice evermore. And I've said this before, if you read the Psalms, the first 30 or 40, I forget exactly how many, they're joyful. They're encouraging. You see the care of God. You see the pastoral ministry as you read those first few dozen Psalms. He'll fill your heart with joy. And singing in another place, in Isaiah, it talks about singing. Again, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction when the Word of God is taught. But when you agree with God and say as they did, amen, amen, that weeping will stop soon. And God will make you to understand that you're His child, that He is on your side. He's with you. He'll comfort you. He'll help you when you call out to Him. And He'll give you joy. And that'll be your strength. Again, when your heart is right, when you approach this thing in the correct manner, when you're reverent before God, when you put Jesus first in your life, He'll fight with you. He'll be in your corner. He'll give you understanding. He'll show you what to do. You'll pray and what do you know? God answered that prayer. And this thing will feed on itself. When you give to the Lord of your time, of your attention, when you think about, as they did, of sending to those that had nothing prepared. In other words, let's tell somebody else about this. Remember the woman at the well? She found the answer. But then she put down her water pot and said, hey, I got to go to the city and tell somebody else. The more you yield to the Lord, the more of His goodness you will find. And the Holy Spirit will be in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Never walked alone. He holds my hand through everything.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.